Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 18, Sedation of the Acutely Agitated Patient When Intubation is Prohibited. If you find this podcast helpful, please tell a friend or colleague about it, or send them the link to the show notes for this episode at pharmacyjoe.com/episode18. As usual, I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes. The methods I'm going to discuss in this episode are not first-line or even second-line therapies for controlling acute agitation. I use them rarely, as in a few times per year or less, but in some difficult situations, they are like having an ace up your sleeve. Almost all acutely agitated patients can be treated with benzodiazepines and/or antipsychotics. If doses escalate to the point of respiratory failure, the patient is sedated further, intubated, and is then awakened later after the period of acute agitation is over. But occasionally, patients do not respond to benzodiazepines or antipsychotics. Other times, patients may have conditions that make benzos or antipsychotics relatively contraindicated. They may have advanced heart or lung disease and might never wean from the ventilator. Or they may have an advanced directive that prohibits intubation. Here are three strategies that can be used in these circumstances. Number one, valproic acid. Number two, high-dose dexmedetomidine infusion. Number three, ketamine. First, we'll talk about valproic acid. About 2 years ago, an intensivist I work with, also named Joe, by the way, suggested using a loading dose of 15 milligrams per kilo IV valproic acid to control acute agitated delirium in an ICU patient. I could not find much evidence for this, but other therapies had not been very effective for the patient, and we gave it a try. The patient in question had a history of various mental health diagnoses, and the addition of valproic acid seemed to control the agitation over the next few days. Ever since then, I've been keeping an eye out for the use of valproic acid in acute agitation. I was very happy when, in May 2015, a randomized, double-blind trial directly comparing valproic acid to haloperidol for acute agitation was published. The trial was published in the Journal of International Clinical Psychopharmacology, and it compared valproic acid 20 milligrams per kilo IV versus haloperidol 5 milligrams IM in 80 patients in an emergency department with acute agitation. Agitation was measured at baseline and 30 minutes after the first injection using three different scales. No significant differences were observed between groups after 30 minutes for the agitation scales. More patients, however, in the haloperidol group experienced intense sedation, 36%, and extrapyramidal symptoms, 8%, compared with the valproic acid group, of which 2.5% experienced intense sedation and no patients experienced extrapyramidal symptoms. These findings suggest that in an emergency setting, IV valproic acid is as effective as haloperidol in reducing agitation, but with a better safety profile. Since the publication of this article, I have had the opportunity to use valproic acid twice in acutely agitated patients. Both times, the patients were young adult males experiencing withdrawal from multiple substance abuse, including K2, synthetic marijuana, opioids, alcohol, and benzodiazepines. Both patients were requiring physical restraint and multiple security guards to help keep them and the healthcare provider safe. The dose given in each of these cases was closer to 15 milligrams per kilo than 20 milligrams per kilo. But each time, the patient's agitation was much less after the addition of valproic acid. One of the patients did experience intense sedation, but he had also received very high doses of clonidine, benzodiazepines, and atypical antipsychotics in an attempt to control his agitation. He was eventually able to transfer to an appropriate level of psychiatric care at another hospital. Next, we'll discuss high-dose dexmedetomidine infusion. High-dose dexmedetomidine infusion is another strategy I have used occasionally to spare intubation in agitated patients. Even though it is now generic, dexmedetomidine is an expensive sedative. I usually do not count on it to provide anything more than moderate sedation, and I like to use it primarily to help anxious patients wean from the ventilator. The pharmacy drug budget will never get credit for avoiding an intubation, but every once in a while, it seems like pushing the dose of dexmedetomidine above the usual maximum has a chance to spare a patient mechanical ventilation. Literature support for this technique is scant, but there was a pharmacokinetic study in 13 ICU patients that looked at dexmedetomidine doses up to 2.5 mics per kilo per hour. Only 8 of the patients in the study ever reached that maximum dose. In this small sample, safety outcomes were as expected with dexmedetomidine. 4 of the 53 adverse events recorded were assessed as being related to the study treatment: 3 episodes of bradycardia and 1 episode of first-degree AV block. All of these events resolved either with dose reduction, as in the case of the AV block and one of the bradycardias, or with administration of atropine and glycopyrrolate, as with 2 of the other bradycardias. The mean age of the study was 57 years, and all but one patient who reached the 2.5 mics per kilo per hour dose was below age 60, and that was an 82-year-old. To even consider this strategy, the patient should have good cardiovascular reserve and not already be hypotensive or bradycardic. It should also be very convincing that this strategy has a good chance of avoiding intubation due to the very high cost. The 2 most recent patients I have used this in were, first, a patient who needed control of agitation but could not be intubated due to an advanced directive, and second, an obese patient who was 1 day post-stent placement for MI and went into withdrawal from alcohol, benzodiazepines, and high-dose zolpidem abuse. In the second patient, the physicians felt if they could only catch up with treatment for alcohol withdrawal, they might avoid intubation, and we were already using 8 milligrams of lorazepam every hour IV push to control the patient. We used dexmedetomidine up to 2.1 mics per kilo per hour at a cost of about $1,400 per day. When I last saw the patient, he was not intubated but still requiring high doses of benzodiazepines and dexmedetomidine. Last, ketamine. Ketamine has been used to successfully manage acutely agitated and violent patients. The dose for this indication is 2 milligrams per kilo IV or 5 milligrams per kilo IM. In addition to not requiring intubation, ketamine does have the advantage of possible IM injection, which may be the only choice in some agitated patients. I've never used ketamine for this purpose. Due to its duration of about 10 to 20 minutes, I'm not sure what role it has other than to sedate the patient enough to allow definitive treatment of the agitation, such as intubation. If you are interested in hearing more about ketamine and its use in critical care settings, check out episode 17. If you've ever used any of the above techniques, or if you have a technique for sedation without intubation of agitated patients that I have not discussed, I'd love to hear from you. Send an email to joe@pharmacyjoe.com. If you are not already in the free Pharmacy Nation group on Slack.com, I'd like to invite you to check it out. This group allows pharmacists across the globe to collaborate and communicate with each other in real time to further the practice of pharmacy. Over 30 pharmacists in 5 countries are in the group right now. We're discussing topics like aspiration pneumonia, establishing clinical pharmacy services, and taking the new board-certified critical care pharmacist exam. request an invitation by emailing me at joe@pharmacyjoe.com or by signing up at pharmacynation.org. Remember, you can share the show notes for this episode by going to pharmacyjoe.com/episode18. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.